Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Let God Podcast. It's me, Mary Hannah.
Me, IFF.
And me, Winipa.
Today, y'all, we are back with another Ask LGP because y'all have been filling up our anonymous Google submissions form, and we're super grateful. So we're going to be talking about anxiety, shame when it comes to your relationship with God, prayer, purpose, a whole bunch of that stuff. But before we get started, we're going to have a word of prayer as usual.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you so much for allowing us to find this time to meet together, the three of us, and also with everybody that's listening. Lord, we know that as we grow older, we become busier, and there's so much that we have to deal with in our day-to-day lives, but we thank you that we can find time to just share your word with those who listen to the podcast. Lord, it's truly a blessing to be able to have this time. But I pray now that as we discuss these topics, some of which are quite sensitive, that you'll just fill us with your spirit, Lord, and let all our words be from you, Lord, and speak to your heart and to your character, Lord, that we might present a true picture of the loving God that you are. Bless us now as we go on through the rest of our days and be with every single person listening right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was a wonderful prayer. Thank you. So, in the spirit of the season, our icebreaker is going to be, what is your favorite summer treat? So what do you like to enjoy specifically in the summertime, food wise? What's something you've had, maybe not this summer as of yet, but like in past summers, are like, ooh, that was just the perfect summertime treat. I can start. Was it last summer? I think it might have been last summer. There's this place in Cambridge called Jack's Gelato. Shout out Jack's. Love
immediately.
Mm-hmm. And they had this amazing elderflower gelato. And it was like elderflower that had been grown locally. Oh my gosh. I love elderflower as a drink in any case. But that in ice cream form, I was like, wow. Clear. This is a masterpiece. Culinary masterpiece. So I love that. Jack's Gelato, any day. Mm. I love that.
Mine's kind of similar. I like cold, what's it called? Not beverages, but like cold stuff. Like
desserts, yeah.
Yeah, but I like those jubbly, like ice cream.
The triangle? Like
triangle? Yeah. Oh, were you? Yeah, the
little pyramid. That's my childhood.
No, for realsies. For realsies. We never had jubbly, though. It was always just like their own brand one.
What's your favorite flavor, Ipa? Ooh, strawberry. Okay.
That's yours.
Mm.
I liked orange, but you know I like citrusy stuff like that.
I didn't know you liked fruit, low-key.
Fruit? It's an ice lolly. It's not really fruit.
No, but she was like, you know I like citrusy stuff. I was like, do I?
Yeah, like lemonade. Like if I'm going to have something like that, it's going to be more citrus than like, like strawberry or something. Grape.
She's like, grape. Mine is a little bit rogue. It's not even that rogue. It's just like, no, okay. Go on. Everybody make fun of Winipa's taste buds. Basically, like, this is really showing the northerner in me. But the other day, like, Rudo said something about, like, she's going to the beach with her friend Christine. And one thing I do not play about is a good crispy fish and chips. Ah! Let me tell you the magic combo. Jumbo fish and chips with salt and vinegar and curry sauce. Clear.
I've never had curry sauce and chips.
I have.
Oh!
It's good.
You haven't lived.
Gosh.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, afterwards, to top that off, you just have some Mr. Whippy ice cream with a 99p flake. Ugh.
This is a really quintessential British summer, I feel.
Honestly.
Like, it doesn't get more British than that.
Sometimes I do feel very proper English. And this is one of them. I love that.
Oh, I love that. Oh, thank you, girls, for sharing. Hopefully, we'll be consuming lots of our favorite summer treats.
IJN.
this summer. Okay, shall we get started on our topic?
Yeah.
Topics. Would anyone like to ask the first prompt, the anxiety one?
I can ask that one. I'm just looking for it in the thing.
No problem. It's the second picture that I sent.
Okay, so this question that we got through our anonymous Google form, thank you so much to the lovely person who submitted it. It says, hey girls, love your podcast. Thanks. I listen every morning getting ready for work. Recently, I've come upon a post on Instagram about social anxiety when it comes to spreading the gospel. There's a lot of people in the comments who think that people who have anxiety are using it as an excuse and that we should always be bold and ready to share the gospel. There's also some who say that anxiety is a real thing and sometimes it can be hard to do and not easy for everybody. I was wondering, what is y'all's take on it? Thanks. Love y'all. Love you too.
Love you a lot.
But yeah, what do you guys think?
I feel like, as we said before, don't listen to anyone on social media. No one knows.
It's just useless up Twitter.
But more than anything, I think social anxiety obviously is a very real thing and it affects people differently. Sure. So to say that it's an excuse is like not considerate and is not going to help the people with anxiety all of a sudden jazz up and like disappear.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like we have been called to preach the gospel. Like that is our great commission and obviously is important. But as like a main first point, I feel like things like anxiety can be overcome, but of course it's a journey. And when we look at the Bible and look at the people who had anxiety, like Moses, for example, he was saying that he can't even talk, he's a stammerer. God did help him, and I think sometimes you do need to go to God, and like if it's something that you're particularly passionate about, and you want to ask God to help you to really spread his gospel, then I feel like, yeah, then you can ask God for it. But just because you have social anxiety, you shouldn't feel like less of a Christian because you're scared to, preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen. I would definitely agree with that. And also to add on to the Moses point, it's kind of like you don't even necessarily need to expect some miraculous overnight transformation. Like in the beginning, Moses said like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. And God was like, okay, I'm gonna send Aaron to help you. And so like God does kind of ease us into things. He meets us where we are and he understands our situations. And if anything, like he's just proud of you for even wanting to go and like proclaim the gospel, even if you do have kind of things that inhibit you from doing that as easily. I also do think that spreading the gospel doesn't always look like the same thing. Like I think a lot of people take more notice of the people who are kind of out in the street preaching and doing like the really grand gestures and, you know, declaring the word on the street corner and whatever. But spreading the gospel can be as much as talking to people that you already feel comfortable with who might not know about Jesus. It can even be writing through a blog. Like it doesn't always need to be kind of this door-to-door handing out pamphlets as the SDA church are very fond of. That was every 13th week, like once a quarter. Child, they would have me out here knocking door to door trying to bat my eyelids, honey. Oh, those were the days. That's when I learned that I'm not one of God's strongest soldiers, honey. I couldn't do it.
Oh my goodness.
You know, obviously I found other avenues to spread the gospel. Now, you know, I'm behind the podcast screen. Y'all can't see me. I'm more comfortable with that. So it's just about finding the ways that God can use you uniquely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And just to echo what both of the girls have said, I think sharing the gospel is just as much about speaking Jesus as it is about living like Jesus. And so I think it's super important that even as you are, well, first I want to answer, like, yes, as the girls have said, anxiety is a real thing, and so I don't think it's right for people to pit that as just an excuse. I think that's a real thing. But I think one of my friends told me a while ago this phrase that stuck with me, like, what is necessary is rarely ever easy. And so sharing scripture is a necessary part of, or sharing the gospel is a necessary part of our Christian faith, but it's not always going to be easy, not only in terms of like the actual practice of speaking about Christ to somebody. But even just the fact of like living like Christ, living Christ like is not easy. So mm-hmm. the whole holistic experience of sharing the gospel in your speech as well as in your life is a tricky thing. So as Iamfa said, please don't feel ostracized for having a certain level of discomfort or fear. I think it's natural mm-hmm. In the Christian faith. But again, back to the point that I started off with. Yeah, it's. I think sharing the gospel is just as much about speaking Jesus as it is about living like Jesus. Mm-hmm. So you may never explicitly tell a stranger John 3:16 and this whole situation. But I think the way that you live your life and people having an understanding of the fact that you do believe in Jesus is just as powerful as reciting, you know, scripture off the back of your hand, you know.
Right.
And perhaps yeah. even more powerful and more it has the potential to be more resonant with people because it's more genuine. But yeah, those are my thoughts on it.
Amen. I love that.
Shall we do the next question then? We hope that helped you, dear, if you're listening.
Sometimes I actually wonder that. I'm like, do people actually even listen to the eps when we answer their thing? I hope so.
I hope so too.
Because maybe there's people out there thinking, babe, never answered my question. It's like, no, but we did.
You say you need to listen to every single one.
Mm-hmm. We don't have that many Ask LGBTs.
Huh? True, but I think sometimes because the titles, yeah, because the titles are so random. Sometimes I'm kind of like, do they know that their question is in there? That's why you have to be a diligent listener. Anywhoomst, I'm afraid you want to ask the next question.
Yeah, intrigued. Okay, is it the one growing up, my dad?
No, it's the shame one. It's short. It's the first screenshot just after commercial careers in God.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The next question is, how do I feel motivated through my journey? How to not feel ashamed about your relationship with God? I just found this podcast and I've only watched one, but I hope you're able to help me and other people struggling with this. We'll take the question in two parts. Like, how do you feel motivated through your journey with God, your Christian journey? And how do you not feel ashamed of your relationship with God?
In terms of staying motivated, I think it's difficult because there's one aspect of that. I think maybe the person is thinking more in terms of staying motivated to continue, like, reading the Bible and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Daily. And I think it's, to be honest, it is difficult, and we all go through ebbs and flows with our faith. For me personally, I just feel like I have been convicted about Christ and who God is, and so it's like, however far like I ebb and flow, I feel like I'll always just believe, you know what I mean? I feel like once you believe, like, that's it for me. So it's like, no matter how much I ebb and flow, it's not like I'll ever fully lose the motivation. And I think it's just about an act of remembrance, maybe.
I love that point that you just said, Winipa, about remembrance. It just reminded me of like various verses, but I just can't pull them up right now. We're like, oh, actually, you know, throughout the Old Testament, when God was speaking to the Israelites, he would often Yeah, he would often say stuff like, remember, I'm the God of Abraham,
Isaac. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt.
Exactly. I think a large part of faith is remembrance and having some sort of like spiritual memorials that you refer to that allow you to remember where you've come from and where you're going as well. Because I think like in the moment, like when you're in a tricky season, it's so easy to get like lost in the sauce of like the issues of your life. That happens to me often, and sometimes it's like, wait, I gotta pause for a minute and just remember, like, a year ago I was freaking out about XYZ, and look, a year has passed and it's been resolved and God was faithful. So whatever I'm freaking out about, in a 6 months time and a year's time, God is the same God. Then promise is different, situation is different, the same God. So I think having spiritual memorials, like really informally, even if it's just like a notes page, like end of uni, God help me do this, this, and this. I wrote my diss, you know what I mean? Or whatever it is, whatever you're navigating. I think that sort of thing is really important. And also remembering that like just as like you don't want to go to the gym every day. I don't go to the gym at all, but I imagine those who do go to the gym don't want to go to the gym every day, at least sometimes. It's going to be the same with faith. You're not going to want to go. You're not going to want to read your Bible every single day sometimes. And that's just the situation. Just as sometimes you need a break from your mom or your dad or your best friend, as much as you adore them, you don't want to be blowing up their phone, speaking to them on FaceTime for 5 hours every day. It's going to be times when you feel like that with God, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because it's a journey. You don't have to have it figured out all in one day, but that's my thoughts on that.
I agree with what you guys have said. And I think remembering that the Christian journey, as much as it's like you can read more books of the Bible, you can spend more time in prayer, it's also building that relationship with God. And sometimes enough motivation is just knowing more of God and being able to understand him, and even being able to hear his voice more clearly, or just being more sure in his plan for you. And like, as long as you have the desire to keep growing, I feel like that's enough. You don't need like a massive motivational push, just as long as there's progress. And to answer the second part of the question about what to do if you're ashamed about your relationship with God, I feel a lot of times, especially for me, is there can be shame in, I guess, your progression in terms of, like, I feel like I should be at this point in my faith. I've been a Christian for blah, 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 how many years I should be at this point. But just remembering that Christianity isn't like a linear journey, or nothing in life really is, but just, like, you shouldn't put, I guess, milestones in your faith, because you never know what can happen. And it just puts a lot of pressure on you as well. I feel like shame shouldn't be anything that I just feel like shame has any place in your relationship with God.
Yeah, that's so good.
Amen. I actually interpreted the second part of that question a bit differently. I kind of took it as, maybe this is reflective of where I'm at spiritually, I don't know. But I thought it meant kind of like ashamed, as in ashamed to be different or live different from...
That's what I thought it meant
too. Other people. But like what you said was like very pertinent, I am faith. But like, to answer the alternative interpretation, I think firstly to acknowledge that can be a genuine struggle. It is really difficult to like stand apart and to kind of declare these things boldly, when people might just think like, oh, this girl crazy, or like they don't understand your point of view. One verse that I really love is from Romans 1:16-17, and it's Paul. And you know, he'd be saying bold things all the time, and it's really hard to live the way Paul did, but he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." And a lot of the times as well, Paul talks about how, you know, once he understood like the saving worth of Jesus Christ, like everything else to him, like he realized like to lose that all was a gain to him. And I think it's kind of to have that perspective in mind. It's kind of like what you might see immediately, whether that's like popularity or like social currency or like fitting in and following trends. It might seem good for the moment, but the power of salvation and all God has done for you is like a surpassing worth. And I think it's really difficult, because I was just speaking to my mum the other day in general about being in a place in life where I'm just so like frustrated, because I kind of feel like caged by the course that I'm doing and stuff like that. And I was saying to her, I hate the fact that I feel like other people can live in the moment, but I always have to live in anticipation of something better coming. And I think it's a really difficult place to be in, especially as a Christian, because you have to think, oh, it's so difficult to live with the kind of scoffing and the, you know, people, maybe the disrespect or whatever, but I have in mind heaven, or I have in mind this life that God desires for me. But I really just think it does take some strength, and that strength, trust me, it's not coming from inside, because I don't have it. But that's why I think it's so important to stay connected to God, and to continue to be honest with him about the struggle and ask him to intervene for you.
Yeah, I interpreted the question the same way that Winipa did. And I think the first thing that I thought would be like to interrogate why you feel shame. So is it shame, as Anfa said, about your progress, shame in terms of, oh, you feel isolated or ostracized from the people around you? And I think when it comes to that sentiment of not feeling ashamed or on whichever side of the spectrum you're at, I think it's important to remember that we've been called to be set apart, but not to be isolated from the world. And it's important equally to be firm in your convictions, but at the same time, not ridicule others when they don't share the same thing, at least in regards to if you're experiencing shame because of the situations or the, you know, social, I guess, context that you're in that make you feel some type of way about it. But I think on a really practical level, I think sometimes as Christians, we feel like because Jesus said we should turn the other cheek, we're expected to just kind of like be stay planted in areas that may be harmful for us. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're recognizing that the social interactions that you have or your social circle at any given point is constantly making you feel ashamed of you being genuine in your relationship with Christ, it's more than okay to reevaluate your social circle. I think like good friends in any context should not ridicule you for what you believe, whether that's you're completely teetotal or you go to the club or you don't go to the club or you dress this way or you don't, whatever the consideration is. And I think that's okay. I think, as Ianfa said, shame should really have no place in our relationship with Christ. So it's important to understand the factors that are contributing to that shame. And in my opinion, if necessary, take a step back and reevaluate those who you have around you and the role that they play, perhaps in facilitating that a little bit.
What?
I can ask the third question.
Yes.
Okay, prayer. This is a short one. Somebody asked, I think they meant what should prayer look like? Oh, they said how should prayer look like regularly? How does one show their Christian morals in a room full of unbelievers or generally share their faith? So we've touched on this a little bit earlier. But what do y'all think prayer should look like regularly?
I think I've said this on the podcast before, but I think like prayer shouldn't just be a moment in time or like a rigid, you know, it doesn't necessarily always need to be, or it shouldn't exclusively be, should I say, a time that you just close your eyes and clasp your hands and like say some words, you know, maybe ask God for some things. I think prayer should look like a constant dialogue throughout your day. It should be, because it's communication with God, communication isn't always verbal. So I think part of it is even to do with the way that you live out your daily walk with Christ, whether that's how you treat people and kind of always kind of going back to God, even in the tiny little things throughout the day. And I think when you see it that way, prayer becomes less of a thing that you feel like, oh, let me sit down and do this, or I haven't prayed in a while. It's kind of like a constant state of being. Yeah. And I think that also helps to take the pressure off it as well, because it's not like, oh, I missed my slot this morning, I haven't talked to God today. No, because I'm constantly in communication with the Father.
Yeah.
When you've said most of the things, I feel like prayer is different for everyone, so I don't think there's a way prayer should look like. Just as long as you maintain a steady communication with God. The second question was how to,
so should keep showing your faith, like maintaining your Christian morals is what they said, and a room full of unbelievers, so people who don't share your faith.
I feel like number one is important to know what are your non-negotiables in terms of morals, and that should be built on the word, not what
so good,
not what like people say morals are, what's good or what's bad. So, and to be able to build your morals on the world, that's basically like building your beliefs, your values. You need to know the word as well, so it just goes back to like having a firm foundation in Christ and what the Bible says, and reading the Bible, and then from there you can build your values and morals on top of it. And I feel like if you build your morals or so forth on the word, it will be harder to for it to sway if you're in a group of people who don't believe, because you know the reason that you've chosen to like, not drink or to not do a certain thing or like not go out, whatever you might choose. But as long as it's your decision based on your conviction,
then. Yeah. Yeah, I think just to come off of what Aimfa said, I think there's something to be said about like the emphasis that we put on like actively showing that we are Christians. I think there's a slight difference between like actively wanting to show something and being intentional with something. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that makes sense. I feel like I just feel like when you are like with my friends, because I know the girls and I know their values and I know just like who they are, I do life with them, who they are, who Christ is through them is very clear to me. So it's no longer a thing where it's like, oh, they have to respond to me in a specific way or they have to be super explicit with the scripture that they're reading or whatever for them to corroborate a point that they're trying to get across to me or for me to believe that Christ is in them. It's just the way that they live as my friends. Like I'm talking about I'm Femunipa here. So it's like, it's the same thing really with, I think, in your person. Of course, it's difficult to see that when you can't see outside of your body, of course. But I think try to take the pressure off of like, oh, I have to show this or be this or stand out in this way. I think when you live authentically with Christ, that speaks enough for itself. A lot of the time. I just think like even outside of like the decisions that people that are often in like social media discourse about drinking, clubbing, you know, sexuality, whatever it is. Just carrying the kindness of Christ. Like I feel like the kindness of Christ is something that is so underrated, but I've just learned to really, really value that. Like Christ was a kind person in a society where people were, it's equally as ours, it was a colonial society, really, well, I guess sort of the early tenets of capitalism, it was super imperialist, like all this other stuff. So it's like he was navigating similar or adjacent situations to what we're navigating, and chose kindness and chose peace and chose intentionality and chose community and chose integrity above those things. And I think the way in which you live, especially as we become young adults, the way in which we navigate our professional lives, how we deal with our finances, how we deal with our family, relationships. That's going to speak volumes. How you forgive people. We got a question. We're not really addressing it now. Where somebody said, should I forgive somebody who hadn't apologized? I said, wow, that's a very pertinent question in my life for many reasons. never mind same. That. And I was just like, you see, these are things that like are serious questions that to a quote unquote unbeliever might be like, no, if somebody don't show you that they value you and don't apologize, then you scatter them into the bin. Fair. But I think our relationship with Christ teaches us something different and teaches us to have grace for people that extends far beyond their treatment of us. And so again, to wrap up my little rant, I think there are many, many ways that you can authentically show Christ without feeling like you got to show Christ, if that makes sense.
Amen. MH, that was such a word. And it reminded me of two things. Firstly is, okay, they're both to do with my testimony, but at different points. Firstly, I remember the first time that I really saw that God was real, or that like God is real in the sense of he makes people so different to other things I've seen, was I think you guys might have heard in my testimony episode, I started going to church by myself when I was really young. And then when I was around like 11 years old, my dad had cancer. He was really ill and my parents didn't go to church or anything, but like, and no one from the church had met them before either, because I used to just get picked up by this family. But when my dad was ill, like this lady, Sharon, she used to go into the hospital and she used to bring him his favorite snacks and a copy of the Financial Times and just sit and talk with him. Like somebody that she had never met except from knowing his daughter through church. And I just, like, even at that young age, I was kind of like, what manner of kindness is this? Like somebody giving up their weekend. They have their own family, their own kids. Like somebody displaying that level of kindness to somebody who was, quote, an unbeliever as well. And so I think it harkens back to what you were saying, MH, the way that you live can speak volumes above anything. It's not even that she went there to evangelize, she didn't preach at him or whatever, But she was just living out the love of Christ in a practical way. And I think that spoke volumes to me. And it still, even to this day, like, makes me think, wow, this is the work that Christ can do in somebody.
Mm.
And the other thing is, I remember a couple years ago when I was really tussling with my faith, like in around between first and second year of uni. And I actually have a screenshot from our chat from ages ago. And it's literally in my favorites folder, MH. And it's from MH. I remember I was talking to you both about, like, basically just being like, oh, I'm a terrible bird. That are like, not everything in my life is just rubbish. Like, I was saying how, like, I think the context is that I must have said that I feel like I just keep making mistakes, like, no matter how long I've been a Christian, da da da, and I don't feel like I have the Holy Spirit in me. And MH, you said something like, let me get it up, I'm not gonna read it exactly because that's too emosh, but you basically just said, like, the characteristics that you have, whether you see them or not, reflect that the Holy Spirit is inside you. Like, you wouldn't behave this way, you wouldn't forgive this way. And you mentioned that you've even seen, like, a transformation because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And I think it's something that you won't even notice when you're in a room of, quote, unbelievers, like, oh, this is me being different, acting different. But, like, there's things about you that God has worked out that you can't even see the radiance coming from you.
Mm.
So, yeah, being different can be passive. It doesn't always need to be a, I'm preaching and today we're in Ephesians and these people are going to hear me today, you know?
For sure. You just remind me of a verse in Ecclesiastes that I love. I just want to make sure I find it. This is Ecclesiastes 3:11. It's literally one of my favorite verses of all time. And it says, God, he has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity. This is the Amplified Version. A sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. And I love this part of the verse. It says, yet man cannot find out, comprehend, or grasp what God has done, his overall plan from the beginning to the end. And I think that is so pertinent to what Winnie Puss just said, that, like, we be beating ourselves up. Sometimes rightly so. Because I know personally me, I be acting up sometimes.
Yeah, I need a whooping. I do.
But at the same time, it's like, when you, like, God is greater than our heart. Again, another verse I absolutely love. It's 1 John 3:20. It says, even when our heart condemns us, make us feel guilty, we can be encouraged because we know that God is greater than our heart.
Wow.
And I just feel like, you don't know the work God is doing within you. You really don't know the work that God is doing in you from beginning to the end. And so I really think it's just so important. Just put God at the forefront of your mind. Make time for the Lord every day. Be honest when you messed up. Pray for forgiveness. Ask the Lord to make a holy heart out of you. And you will just, it's only retrospectively that you'll be able to look back at specific seasons or look back at specific moments that you'll be like, oh, that was a Holy Spirit moving through me. And so take heart, dear one. God's got you. The Lord is working through you. As long as you make space for God in your heart and your life, he will always come through.
Amen. Ooh, preacher, you spoke to me today, honey. You did. Wow. Do we have one more cue?
Yeah, God's plan for our life.
So the last question that we're going to discuss today, it's a bit of a long one, but I'm just going to read it out. Oh no, live every day like it's your last.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Let's do that one.
Okay.
Let's do that one.
So should we not do the plan for your life thing?
Yeah,
we can do that another time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the last question that we're talking about today, it says, do you think, quote, live every day like it's your last is a good mindset to have?
So basically they're saying, is YOLO biblical or not?
I say at least twice every day when I'm about to make another purchase, honey, so. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh. Gosh, is live every day like it's your last a good mindset to have? I think it depends on the circumstance. I think you can say live day every day as is your last and have no financial restraint, adding myself, having no sort of sense of conviction and being like, you know what, whatever, man, I ain't gonna die if I do this, you know what I mean? And even if I did, I'm still gonna make it to heaven. Or it's a different thing to be like, oh, I'm gonna love people and be intentional with people or forgive people or have grace with people, like it's my last, because if this was my last day,
wow,
I want to look back and be like, Father, I did this, the way that you would have wanted me to do it. So I really think it's a matter of perspective, but only you, dear one, who asked the question, will be able.
Not dear one, not agony aunt.
Only you, beloved, will be able to know which side of the spectrum you're on. I think for me, I can oscillate between both of them sometimes. Like, especially with the summer coming up, I'm like, yes, I can make a £50 hour purchase. It is okay. You know?
Yes, I can skin oats.
Like, yes, I can do that, even though it's probably not financially wise for me at the moment. But it's like, no, that's not how God has called me to live. That's not being a good steward over what I have. So
attack. No, I really.
Think about me and Malifa. We gonna order it, and then we gonna have refunds coming through.
Hey, big spender, because as well, like MH and I share a lot of our like accounts in terms of like Premier delivery. Take from that what you will. Like whenever one of us orders or refunds, like we both get the notification. It's like, yeah, been there, got that, returned it. Because one thing about me, I'm a Klarna baby. I'm a Klarna.
Klarna is so bad. Sorry, y'all. We're going on a bit of a tangent. Klarna is terrible.
No, but you know, like, no, it's good. Because if you always pay back on time, then you look like a reliable borrower.
Oh, but if you miss it, that's when it's
One thing about me, I'm a never miss a Klarna. As soon as they send that final warning email, I'm transferring funds. I don't care how bad it is. If it's £100 you need, you'll get it today.
That's why, to build your credit, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But
be careful if you're
advocating
for credit systems.
Maybe we should actually become a Klarna sponsor and start doing up Klarna ads. We're like, do you want to be a good steward of your finances? Klarna. Anyways, that was a massive tangent. I really love what you said there, MH, about like the love and kindness, because sometimes I also think it's not quite the same as live every day like it's your last, but it's almost like live every day as if it's somebody else's last, or kind of sometimes I think, what if this person's interaction with me is the only interaction they'll ever have with a Christian? And I really, not to even add that responsibility and not to say that it's like I need to proclaim the gospel right here, right now, from Genesis to Revelation, but it's more of a thing of, if this is someone's only, if this is going to be somebody's idea of this is what a Christian is, like, let me be loving, let me be friendly, let me be kind, let me show them the grace of God, because I'm his representative at the end of the day. Like, we are his ambassadors. Like, so, like I was saying, there was an influencer who posted a video about, oh, you shouldn't listen to this particular artist because they have demonic witch imagery and, like, they're going to hell, essentially, you'll go to hell, that type of thing. And one thing it really made me think is that, like, Christians can be very, I don't know, I don't like this idea of living life only with the end in sight, like, only living your life as if the purpose is for it to end, and then, like, the true tea begins once it's over, and, like, preaching in the way that all that matters is repent now or else you'll go to hell, or repent now and you'll go to heaven. Like, kind of ignoring this whole middle section that we're actually called to live as human beings on this earth. Like, our whole goal isn't just to, like, get to heaven by any means necessary. And I even think that, like, the idea that we can even do anything, quote, to get to heaven as if it's just this kind of, like, prize that we just have to win and secure and that's all that matters, really just, like, it really just cheapens the whole of who God is and experiencing him to his fullest, and also, like, living life to the fullest that he has given to you. And I think this, the question of, oh, should we live every day like it's our last, kind of made me think, like, oh, does this person mean, like, live as if Jesus is coming tomorrow? What's the most I can do? Like, you know, let me do everything that I want to do. And it's kind of like, life isn't about waiting for the end to come, you know? Like, I think, I don't know, I don't know whether that mindset helps you or not. Like MH said, it depends on the angle which you're taking it from. But I think, like, our focus should just be, like, right now in this moment, how can I enjoy my life to the fullness and allow other people to enjoy it as well, and make decisions that are going to equip me to continue to enjoy it in my walk with God? Like, it doesn't need to be so extreme, I don't think. What you just said, Renipa, actually reminded me of a documentary I was watching. I've been watching. I think it's called like Keep Sweet and something. It's about the
SLDS Church. Ooh, tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's it called? I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Keep Sweet and Pray.
Yeah, Keep Sweet and
Pray. Oh, okay. I haven't seen that on YouTube. Okay, I'm gonna watch it. Yeah. Let me add that. That's really interesting.
But I think one of the things that they used to like guess abuse and I guess manipulate the people is not saying that it's bad to be like heavenly focused, but it was like everything they said was like, if you do this, you will get to heaven. And even though these people were suffering, like unimaginably suffering on earth, because I guess they had this idea that there was Zion on the other side, and that they could, as long as they followed the quote unquote prophet and everything he said, like no questions asked, as long as they follow him, then whatever's on the other side will be good. And I feel like obviously it is important to have your eyes focused on Jesus and on heaven, as Onipa mentioned, but it's also important to make the most of why we're on earth. And just bring back to like why people ask, like as soon as you become a Christian, why aren't you just taken up in the chariot of fire like Elijah is? But God has given us a purpose, and I believe that it is important to not live every day as if it was your last, but as in, like, live every day as if, I don't know, like, purposefully. I feel like if you're going to look at it from, like, a good light, live every day purposefully.
Yeah, that's so good.
With the purpose God has given you. And I feel like that, quote-unquote, if the whole goal of our life is to live according to God's will and along God's will for us, I feel like that is basically living every day as if you're last, if that is the ultimate goal for each day for us, should be to be within God's will.
Amazing. I agree with that.
Amen.
I hope you guys enjoyed the questions. Thank you so much for asking us questions. We love reading through them. You had a lot of interesting and I guess mind-boggling questions as well, so please keep sending more in. You can find us on all the social media sites, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and thank you so much for listening as always. We'll see you next week for another episode. Bye.
Bye. Bye.